What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hold, my Shepherd will defend. It has been paid, for Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. The chains are released, I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus. For He has said that He will bring me home, and day by day I know He will renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. Still my lips shall repeat, and not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Good morning and welcome, everybody. Super to see you here. Do find a seat and we'll start our service in just a few moments' time. Welcome to All Saints Fordham and HR Green. It's super to see you here gathered in the building, and welcome also to you if you're joining in online for the service. Great to have you with us. Today's Sunday, the 3rd of October, 2021. And our focus this morning is on the message of the cross. That's our series for this autumn. And Paul Southern will be preaching today on God's amazing love and the great divide. Well, let's begin our time together with prayer as we prepare our hearts to worship God as his community. A moment of quiet, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. We look to you as we begin. You're the reason why we are here today. We're gathered in the name of your Son, Jesus. And we ask that you lead us now through the power of your Holy Spirit. As we sing and praise you, help us to worship you from the heart. As we listen to your word, may we know the message of Jesus' cross. As we pray and seek the forgiveness of our sins, Heavenly Father, may we connect with you and bring our needs and the needs of your church and world before you. We offer this time to you now and seek your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's finish our prayers by all praying together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Well, we're going to sing our first hymn, which Chris and Colette have chosen, Holy Child Who Chose the Hearts of Men. This is a new song for our congregation, so Chris is going to play the verse through once, and then we'll all join in. The song's got three verses. Will you please stand? Thank you. introducing that new song to us. Do please sit down. The All Saints Club for 4 to 16-year-olds will begin in a few minutes' time in the John Owen Barn, and let's pray for them before they head out. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the children and young people in our church family. We ask for your blessing on them today, asking that you'll grow their knowledge and love of you through today's club. We bring them before you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So young people, if you'd like to head now to the main church entrance where your group leaders will be there to take you over to the barn. Hope you have a great session this morning. At the end of the service, the Luke group leaders will bring the 4 to 11-year-olds back to church, back to their parents, and 11 to 16-year-olds will be able to stay in the barn for table football and table tennis. While the All Saints Club's leaving, why don't you take a moment to turn to someone near you and just to welcome them and say hello. Well, do continue those conversations over tea and coffee after the service. And I think that Chris and Colette might have brought some cakes, is that right? So we look forward to enjoying those as well. Jackie's going to give our two Bible readings now, after which Paul Southern will preach today's sermon.
This morning is John 3, verses 16 to 21. This can be found on page 1066 of the Church Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Thanks be to God. Our second Bible reading this morning can be found on the Pew Bibles of page 1227. And it is 1 John 4, verse 7 to 15. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he is God. Thanks be to God.
Let's bow our heads as we come to look at God's word together. Father God, we thank you for your word. And in John's Gospel, chapter 3, perhaps the most familiar verses, teach us afresh their meaning, Lord, and help us to live as you would have us live. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I'm a bit croaky today, so hopefully I'll get through this okay. But you might like to open your Bibles at John chapter 3, and we'll see where we go with this. And then a little bit later on, we'll look at this letter of John, chapter 4. So I'm going to spend most of the time in the gospel passage that Jackie has just read to us. And we continue our series of sermons on the message of the cross. And the aspect that I want to cover this week is the love of God. So the message of the cross as the love of God. Two headings that I hope will be helpful to us as we study together. First of all, the message of the cross, God's amazing love, John chapter 3 and verse 16, and then the message of the cross, the great divide, John 3 verses 17 to 21. So let's start with the message of the cross, God's amazing love, John 3 and verse 16. Here we have the gospel in one well-known verse, a verse we love, but a verse we tend to keep in isolation from what follows. For God so loved the world, the whole world, not only his special people Israel, but as someone once remarked, an indiscriminate love embracing every man, woman, and child. The theologians describe God's loving the world as through grace. And there are two distinct categories of grace. There's common grace and there's saving grace. Now, common grace can be experienced by the whole human race, and saving grace is personally recognizing and accepting the work of Christ on the cross. And this is at the heart of Christian theology and experience. So common grace speaks of the creator and the sustainer of the world, providing seed time and harvest for all mankind. An often shortened saying of Jesus illustrates the point I'm trying to make here. You will often hear people say, the sun shines on the righteous, but this is incomplete. Jesus adds, he causes his sun, S-U-N, to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Matthew 5 and verse 45. Given that we live in a troubled world, the common grace of God is a governing and guiding and restraining hand that prevents the destruction of God's creation gifts to each and every one of us, and gives a measure of order to our lives, generally enabling nations to live in peace. That's common grace. The grace offered in this verse is saving grace. In place of perishing, eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave. Now, some Bible scholars think more accurately translates as he gave up his only son. We might well think of Abraham giving up his only son Isaac to the point of death. We read about that in Genesis chapter 22, and it is seen as a foreshadowing sacrifice of God our Father giving up his only son to death on a cross. Consider the great depth of the love of Abraham towards God and the great depth of love of God towards us in his son dying on the cross for us. This is love beyond measure. Now, if you've got your Bibles open, you might like to just go back a couple of verses to John 3 and verse 14. And these verses take us back to the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 21, and verses 4 to 9. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man, Jesus, must be lifted up. God's people were constantly moaning. They moaned about him. They moaned about Moses, about the lack of bread, lack of water, and the miserable food that God provided. And as punishment, God sent snakes into their midst. Many were bitten and died, but Moses interceded on their behalf concerning their sinfulness, and God relented and gave them a way out, having to gaze on the pole with the bronze snake Moses set up. And so we gaze on Jesus, lifted up on the cross, crucified for our sinfulness, and see for ourselves that we should be there, you and I, not Jesus. But he took our punishment upon himself. That's what God, his Father, had sent him to do. We would be mistaken to draw a distinction between God's attitude to sin in the Old Testament and his attitude to sin in the New Testament. And in his sermon last week, Francis helpfully likened the holiness and righteousness of God as oil and the sinfulness of humanity as water. And try as you may, they will not mix together and they will remain separated. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 3, verse 23, reminds us that all have fallen short of God's glory. How deeply unfashionable these things are today, in today's generation. That is, supposing anyone would give this much thought anyway. Most people's attention is life in this world rather than what may or may not come afterwards. People today want easy religious experiences, if they want them at all, rather than the bloodshed and the violence of crucifixion. If Jesus is to be considered for them, he must be a Jesus who simply talked about God's love, went about healing the sick, and that will do, molding him to be the man that they are comfortable to live with. They skirt around sinfulness and the cross and do their best with the Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount. It might produce less selfishness and more kindness in the world, but it won't save from God's wrath. I think sometimes You know, as Christians, we should try to understand and engage with people as to what they are thinking and why they are thinking that. We should try to understand and engage with people. Nevertheless, people still struggle with their consciences, regretting past mistakes, but continue to be dogged by them, still carrying around things not dealt with. Secondly, verses 17 to 22, have a look down at those verses. The message of the cross is the great divide. St. Paul, writing to Timothy, affirmed that God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. So those who choose to follow the Jesus of the Bible choose eternal life, and those who don't remain condemned, a choice they have made, the consequences of which they have brought upon themselves, and not at all what God wants for them. This is so important that Jesus speaks in clear and vivid terms about the contrast of light and of darkness. In deciding not to come to the light, unbelievers face eternal condemnation, which is what God does not want. And I believe that this must really grieve his heart, because he wants everyone to come to a saving knowledge of him. For Jesus, verse 17, did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus came as light, verse 19. The coming of light confronts people with a clear and stark choice: to live in the light of Jesus or to live in darkness without him. The main reason why you would prefer to live in darkness is that you might well have something to hide. Not one of us would want what amounts to our darkness to be known by everyone. But the good news of Jesus is that if you do have something to hide from others, and you would sooner not hide it from Jesus, then he invites you to come into his light. And what does his light do? His light throws the spotlight on what is wrong in our lives, yet at the same time meets our sorrow and shame, not with condemnation, but with forgiveness. So why choose to sit in the dark? There is no need. In verse 21, Jesus said of all of those who would believe his truth will come to the light, and their lives will reflect that light, not for personal kudos, but as a witness to living by Jesus' light. There is a great sadness in God's heart. There is a great divide. The Bible shows that there is a radical difference between Christians and non-Christians. You are either one or the other. Becoming a Christian is, of course, a miraculous work of God's Spirit. We are either born again or we are dead in sin. We have either come to the light or we are still in darkness. We are either saved by Jesus from condemnation or under condemnation. There is no middle ground. So a step-by-step summary of this great divide. All people live in darkness without Jesus in their lives. The invitation is to open up our lives to God's loving scrutiny, to entertain the possibility that we need to meet with Jesus as the light of the world. We are to believe in Jesus as God's Son and recognize his sacrifice for our sins, your sins and my sins on the cross. If we refuse Jesus the light, we have to face the consequences. Condemnation of unbelievers is not what God wants. And as I said, and I'll say again, it gravely grieves his heart. But life lived with Jesus, that changed life, that faith in the cross of Jesus provides. The message of the cross, his amazing love, the message of the cross, the great divide. Now, briefly, just let's have a quick look at our second Bible reading, and that's John's first letter, chapter 4, and verses 7 to 15. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. So let's just think about those verses there that follow this. This passage, I think, embellishes John's gospel and acts as a reminder that as recipients of God's love in Christ Jesus, we should love one another. Love is God's gift to us, and to be lived out by loving others as a natural progression of our salvation. So when people see us, they should see our Saviour Jesus, who lives in us by his Spirit. In verse 10, John reminds us that love is God's initiative. He first loved us. The depth of Father God's love is to sacrifice his precious Son to death on a cross for our sins, yours and mine. Jesus takes our place and pays the price for our wrongdoing. This is called God's atoning sacrifice. And Francis carefully explained this to us in his sermon last week, and it might do us good to have a listen to that again to get this firmly in our minds. So here is the pattern for us, for life in Jesus. Verse 13, we know we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. Verse 14, we testify that God has sent his Son Jesus to be the Savior of the world. And verse 15, we acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, that God lives in him and he in God. So these three things, we know, we testify, and we acknowledge. Some years ago, my wife Leslie and I worked for a Christian holiday company called Master Sun Holidays. We used to do this for 1 week in the summer a year. In one particular year, we were on the lovely Greek island of Kos, and one afternoon, Leslie went sailing with the guests in a large yacht. A squall came up, and after some frantic bailing out, the yacht slowly slipped below the surface, and all their bags floated away. An SOS went out and they were rescued. And it wasn't till later that I fully realized the seriousness of her plight and the relief of her being saved. Wouldn't it have been absurd if when the rescuer came, she said, "No thanks, I'll be all right. I'll just bob around here in the water." The message of the cross is the message of God's amazing love. God in his holiness didn't leave us to suffer his justifiable wrath, but gave us, you and me, the opportunity of rescue. His only Son, Jesus, turned the Father's wrath away from us to himself. Just stop and think, what love is this? Let's pray together. You may know Jesus as your Saviour and your Lord. That you have recognised that he took your place on the cross. That he died for your sinfulness. And he gave you new life. And if that's so, rejoice. Rejoice again afresh in the wonderful love of God. The message of the cross. Perhaps you've overlooked or refused his rescue. It grieves God's heart. He longs for you to come. To recognize his son, to see what he has done for you, to rescue you and give you new life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the cross, for such amazing love. Amen. There's a song I really love that expresses all that I've tried to bring to us this morning, and it has an amazing, has a lovely chorus. Amazing love, oh what sacrifice, the Son of God given for me. My debt he pays, and my death he dies, that I might live, that I might live. Amazing love. My Lord, what love is this? Thank you.
Christian belief together with the words of the Apostles' Creed. People of God, do you believe and trust in God the Father? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Do please sit down, and Roger Miles is going to lead us in prayer.
Let's pray together. As we have been reminded again this morning, we want to thank you for your amazing love for us. We again thank you that you spared not your only Son, but gave him up for us all, and that your Son willingly drank the bitter cup of your wrath for our sakes. Lord, we bring before you the small number of Christian believers in Afghanistan who have to meet in secret for fear of persecution by the Taliban. We pray that you will encourage them in their faith and ask that in your sovereign will, your church there will grow. We too remember Christians in other parts of the world, in Nigeria, India, and Iran, where to be known as a Christian means to know persecution in some form. For all in this position, we ask that you will be with them. And as we think of our own country, we want to pray for our government in these difficult days, that they may make wise decisions, and that they may seek to lead us in a way that is honouring to you. We pray for our Queen. We thank you for her long reign over us and her clear Christian faith. Thank you for her devoted life of service to our country. And we again ask your kindness to her as she adjusts to life without her husband of so many years. We pray for our church leaders. We ask that they may be bold in making Christ known and have a renewed confidence in your word. And we pray for the work of Bridgeway Mission as it seeks to help Afghan and Syrian refugees in the Colchester area as their asylum applications are processed. Please help them as they seek to provide practical support in the form of clothing and opportunities to share the gospel. And as we think of ourselves, we want to thank you for the church family here at Fordham and Atesh Green. Help us to be encouraged in our faith and to truly love one another. Help us to look out for each other so that those who know us will know that we are truly your disciples. We again give thanks for the birth of Madeline. We pray that you will bless her life and that she will be a blessing to Chris and Colette. Help them to raise Madeline to know and to love you. Thank you for this precious time they have been able to have together with John and Marissa. We do remember before you this morning those in our church family who are going through difficult times. We pray for John Bale in hospital, that you will be with him, and Irene. for Jeanette Miller as she seeks to do the best for her ailing father in hospital. Be with her and the family at this particularly difficult time. We remember Barbara Jones in Colchester Hospital. We pray for her recovering from the recent stroke that she had. And we pray for Julia Batt and the family following the recent death of Simon. Be with them and comfort them, we pray. Finally, in a moment of quietness, we bring before you those who are known to us, who are going through tough times at the moment, whether it be illness, bereavement, anxiety about the future, difficult relationships within families perhaps, situations only known to ourselves. Lord, we pray to you that you will answer these our prayers as we ask them in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
We pray together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you through our own fault, in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are heartily sorry and repent of all our sins. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image, to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And let's pray together the Collect Prayer on page 3. This is a prayer asking that God will increase our faith and help us to live in obedience to his commandments. Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us your gift of faith, that forsaking what lies behind and reaching out that which is before, we may run the way of your commandments and win the crown of everlasting joy, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Our final hymn is primarily a prayer, asking that God will renew us, bless us and unite us as a church. Will you please stand to sing Lord of the Church?
Thank you.
Do please sit down. We're coming to the end of our time together and some items of church family news. Do please stay for tea, coffee, and refreshments after the service. This morning we have a Holy Communion service, 11:30 at 8 Ash Green. I'll be leading and Paul Southern will be preaching the same sermon on God's amazing love. So I'm sorry that I won't be able to stay around to chat with you this morning, much as I would like to. Next Sunday is our annual harvest service at 10 a.m. It's going to be an all-age service here in Fordham Church. Harvest is an annual opportunity to thank God for the basics of life, all the good things that he gives us, life and sunshine, food and clothing, those sorts of things. There are some difficulties with buying petrol at the moment, but in the grand scheme of things, we are incredibly blessed and privileged in this country. We have so much. Two particular things to draw your attention to. Firstly, I invite you to bring items with you next Sunday for the harvest collection. We're collecting items for Afghan and Syrian refugees, which will be distributed through Bridgeway Mission. There's a full list of items that you can choose from on page 5 in the notice sheet, and that'll then be published on the church website at some point this week as well. And particularly with that, 100 Afghan men have just been housed in a hotel in Colchester, all men 20 to 30 in age, just over from Afghanistan, waiting for their asylum applications to go through. So if you can bring clothing for them, that would be a tremendous blessing. Secondly, Julian Griffiths and I are preparing to take a photo of the church community straight after the service next Sunday. We'll stand outside the church on this side, and Julian will take a few aerial shots with a drone camera. And we'll use the photo on the church website and in church publicity. Please do pray for God to bless us with suitable weather for that. We now have a date for Simon Batt's funeral. It's going to be on Tuesday the 19th of October, 2:30 p.m. here in Fordham Church. I'll lead the service, and we look forward to the former rector, Mike Neville, giving the sermon. The monthly prayer focus evening will be this coming Thursday, 7:45 to 9:15. Please join me online for this important meeting in the life of our church. We'll pray together for the needs and ministries of our church community. And please continue to pray for the General Synod elections. There are details of what to pray for on page 6, and voting closes at lunchtime this Wednesday, the 6th of October. Finally, to accompany the Message of the Cross series, we have a book of the term called The Cross in 4 Words. Copies are available on the table by the church entrance over there. These are free for you to take, to read yourself, or to give away to someone else. Discover how the cross delivers everything we need the most: freedom, forgiveness, justice, and purpose. Well, let's pray and finish with the blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for salvation through the cross, and we consider the preciousness of the gift you gave. You had the whole world, but you only have one Son, and you gave him because you love us, that our sins might be atoned for and we can come into relationship with you. Thank you for this great gift. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.